Welcome to the Undivided Podcast with Dr. Chris Crane. Dr. Crane is the Executive Director of the Birmingham Metro Baptist Association. The BMBA exists with the mission to encourage, equip, and engage the community for the glory of God.
Welcome to the podcast. It truly is a privilege to have each of you listening today. And we have the opportunity to speak with Chris Harrelson. We've had him previously on the podcast to speak about Toes on the Go, his nonprofit ministry of sharing shoes with children and the love of God. And I think that is incredible. But you may not know this, Chris, his day job is a chaplain, and he works in chaplain ministry. And his experiences, I believe, would be helpful for you as a listener to understand how chaplains come alongside the local church, our pastors, and you and your community. So, Chris, it's an honor to have you with us today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, Chris, tell us, how did the Lord call you into chaplaincy?
Pastoring my church, a church member, she was in hospice. And she had an opening, and she said, you know, I prayed, and your name came in my prayer time, and she asked me. At the time, I was in sales, and so I prayed about it and investigated it and just felt called. I never saw it coming, you know. I never saw it coming to be a chaplain. It's just, it came to me, and I prayed about it and just felt the Lord urging, and I've been doing it for 5.5 years.
So 5.5 years in, I know there's no typical day, but what are some of your days like as a chaplain, Chris?
Some of my days, sometimes you walk into homes where people just heard they're on hospice and they're thinking they're going to die today, and you try to comfort them and let them know that we don't know the day and the time, and I listen to them, and I try to just answer, you know, their questions and pray with them, read scripture, and just try to comfort them, just to give them a sense of peace and to help connect God's heart to their heart.
As a pastor, I served in that role for 23 years or so. And, you know, I dealt with some of the issues that you deal with intermittently or on occasion or a few times a week maybe, but every day, day in and day out. Does that take a toll, Chris?
It does. You know, that's why sometimes I just need to take time off. Because it does. You feel what they're feeling as a family. You're walking with them in their time of grief, in their time of sorrow, and you feel what they feel. And sometimes you just need to get away for the weekend. And sometimes I do that. My dad takes over and he preaches at my church, and my wife and I would go off for the weekend, and I just shut down. I just came off during the holidays where I just took 7 days off and just did nothing but just hike and walk and enjoy the day. So self-care is very important. Not only do you need to be in the Word of God yourself and have your moments in time with the Lord, because you need that. You need the strength of Jesus to get you through, because sometimes you're walking in and, you know, you're dealing with family issues. Sometimes you're dealing with faith issues, faith matters. You're dealing with a regret or shame or something of their past. You're walking into a lot of situations. You have people who've been abused, physically abused, you walking into where they may abuse their body and then they're feeling bad and so on. And so you're dealing with just a lot of different, a range of issues, family issues and things like that. Like a couple of months ago, I had a family where their son disappeared and they couldn't find him. And it's stuff like that where you're praying with that family. Mm. And, you know, you have issues like that. Or in another case where the spouse died, but he was their caregiver, you know, and he died, and the person on service is, you know, still alive. And so sometimes you deal with those immediate griefs as well.
And we're grateful for that. I was reading a statistic last week about the decline in church attendance. So it's roughly a 6% decline from 2019 to now, post-COVID or whatever we call this era in which we live. And it made me think, is the role of the chaplain increasingly more important than it was?
Oh, yeah. Because these are not only they're bedbound a lot of times or homebound and they cannot come. And so television and watching church on television is really big and it's really huge. But also there's church hurt. They've been hurt by the church, and they haven't darkened the doors of the church in years. And so I all of a sudden find myself in that role of being their pastor. They sit there and say, I don't have a pastor. So all of a sudden I become their pastor. And so I turn them to my streaming of my service as an opportunity for them. And I work with them to try to get them to, you know, fall back in love with God's church and God's people.
I think that's so needed, and I'm grateful that you do that. And it's amazing to me, Chris, how your local church ministry on Sunday, you've been able to integrate that with your chaplaincy. You just said that you do that.
I feel like I'm like a pastor of the community. You know, I have my local congregation, and then I have my, you know, congregation through Facebook, as well as the congregation of all my patients. Right now we have 90 people, 95, and I will see close to 80 people a month, plus funerals and phone calls and so on. But just being there, I'll never forget a family asked me, listen, my dad hasn't darkened the doors. I don't think he's a believer. And I remember literally being on the deathbed, and I did the plan of salvation. I said, squeeze my hand if you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. And he squeezed my hand. Because even though that he may not be able to respond to me, but he can still hear me. And inside the body is the spirit that's connected to God's heart. You know, Ecclesiastes says God put eternity in our heart, so it's there. So he could hear the message. He may not have been able to verbally respond to me, but he was able to squeeze my hand and say, yes, I accept Christ as my Lord and Savior.
Oh, glorious. That's an amazing thought. Just the opportunities that you have, Chris. And I wonder, you mentioned the eternity being in our hearts and those questions that we all have, but especially when we're at the point of death. What are things that people ask you about when you meet with them? What are they searching for answers concerning?
They're searching, like, what is heaven? What is heaven like? You know, what's going to happen to my body? Am I going to get to see them and know them in heaven? And so I try to walk them through that and say, yes, you know, your relationship with them is going to be different, but you will recognize each other. You know, you exchange this broken body for the everlasting body. You're not going to have any pain and suffering. All the older of things are gone. You get a fresh start. You get the start that God intended for all of us to be in his presence, you know, a time of worship and, you know, all the gates being open, but yet it's a place where there's no time, you know, there's no time continuum, and we literally get to enjoy what God intended. And so I try to comfort people, try to give them that picture of hope through Scripture. I use Revelation 21. I use 1 Corinthians 15. I talk a lot. I always like to start with Psalm 139, for you're fearfully and wonderfully made by God, and all the plans have been ordained before you came into an existence, and God has blessed you. And when you go to wake and you go to sleep and you wake up, God is still with you. That's my starting point. I let them know they were wonderfully made by God, and that God has now chosen to bring them home. And that's been God's plan. Mm-hmm. And so I try to comfort people through all of that and just give them this incredible vision that it's better than earth.
Well, I'm sure you've sharpened your theology of heaven and
definitely
and those types of doctrinal truths. And I imagine there are other skills that you've learned along the way. Could you just talk about that? How have you had to develop and grow in your skills as a minister in this role of chaplaincy?
I think not only has it changed me theologically, but it doesn't scare me about death. That there's no reason to fear in death, but we do. It's natural for us to fear. But going through this and realizing, wait a minute, this has been God's plan, I'm not as scared, because I realize that even though I'm counseling people, I'm imagining God coming down and reaching out his right hand and picking me up and saying, let's go home. And that comforts me as a person. But in terms of skills, just being able to listen. My wife will tell you I became a better listener. Because that's a lot of my job, is I just sit and I listen to people. And I try not to judge, because some people have some really far out ideas about God and so on. So I try to listen to them and then figure out a starting point and then try to lead them to a more proper direction or a correct direction or to help them along the way, counseling them. Those are the skills that have really improved, is listening and figuring out where people are and then leading them to where they need to go to have a greater understanding.
Well, as I have worked alongside chaplains as a pastor through the years, I've grown in my appreciation, especially as I get older and I have more experience and even have had chaplains come alongside my family on occasion with loved ones. And so I'm grateful and thankful. And, you know, my first few encounters with a chaplain, I didn't know how to be a partner to them. I didn't know how to help them in what they were doing in their ministry. Maybe I even felt like I was in competition with them as the local pastor, and there's this chaplain there. He's another faith figure. So could you help us understand how the local church or even pastors can be a great partner to a chaplain who is called to this ministry?
Sure. No, I tell the families that I come alongside. I'm not here to replace your pastor or replace your church. I come alongside. I'm here to pray with you, to read scripture, to answer your questions, but I'm not here to replace your pastor. Mm. And that seems to really comfort them to know that. There are certain churches that have great pastoral ministries, and some of those people say, listen, I got great pastoral ministries. I'm like, I know you do. I'm not worried about that. They'll do a great job. And then other places, like, I haven't been to church in many, many years. I don't even know who the pastor's name is. I said, it's okay. I'm here to be your pastor. So I don't replace a pastor or replace a church. I just adjust to whatever the situation is. So I want to come alongside and walk with this family at this time, but I also know they're getting great pastoral care too.
And we appreciate that. Some of our listeners may not know this, but roughly 60% of the churches in our association of churches, there are about 180, are co-vocational, bivocational, or part-time. And it's difficult for these men of God and others who serve in those different roles to be available. So, Chris, thank you. I mean, you are truly an extension of the body of Christ, the Big C Church.
Yeah.
And we are so grateful for that. Let's say, and you know, I know that there are lots of different options for hospice care available to families. And I know that as a pastor, I've been asked at times, who would you recommend? And I'm not asking you to endorse your company or any others, but what are some ways that a church or a family could know that this is the right fit for them, you know, as far as a hospice care provider for their sure. family?
I think that people have to understand hospice is not like it once was. It's a holistic approach. Just because we say that you have less than 6 months doesn't mean you have less than 6 months. And we come alongside you, and you got a nurse, a social worker, a home health aide, and a chaplain. And, you know, all the organizations have to follow that same pattern. Mm-hmm. And but hospice basically, it's how you interact with them. And because all of them, we all have to follow the same guidelines. So if you're not having a good experience with that nurse, well, guess what? You can call the office, and the office can say, well, we'll send someone else out. And sometimes that happens. And very rarely people say, I'm changing companies because I've not liked your service. But generally, people will come on, and they're very open. We work together with the families. And so everybody, every hospice has to follow the same guidelines.
That's great. So if you're listening out there and you're wondering about hospice care, do your research. And as Chris said, there's keeping those lines of communication open are very important with your different providers.
Yeah, because we do. We all have to follow the same guidelines.
That's great.
So it's just a matter of, do you connect with that organization better? You know, do you like the nurse, the social worker, so on?
Well, Chris, again, we do want to say thank you for what you do, and we appreciate your role as a chaplain. If you're out there and you're thinking about a call to the chaplaincy, Chris would love to speak with you. How could folks get in touch with you, Chris?
Yeah, they can just, you know, call me directly, 205-873-9777, and just reach out to me, and I'll be happy to listen and help and give you some insight on what it's like to, you know, be a chaplain working in the hospice.
Thank you so much. And I want to thank everyone for listening today.
Thank you for listening to Undivided, a podcast of the Birmingham Metro Baptist Association. For more information on the association and to sign up for our newsletter, please visit bmbaonline.org as we seek to encourage, engage, and equip others in the Great Commission of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.